Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just a fantastic piece of journalism by Dan Wolkin of the USA Today about the situation at College Station with Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher all of a sudden in trouble. His staff... because of Santino Marchial. Dan, thanks for coming on the bench. Great work by you. How did this all fall in your lap, may I ask?
Well, his attorney, Thomas Mars, I dealt with him on a number of issues involving the Ole Miss transfers, and this has sort of become his niche, is players and families hiring him to try to get eligible to play based on what's allowed in the NCAA rules. And so one of the things with the NCAA is always public pressure tends to work. But this turned into something very different than the normal situation. And when I sat down and spoke at length with Santino about why he was transferring and what he was going to use to try to get a waiver, this was a very different type of deal because it included some allegations that were, at least apparently to me, violations of NCAA rules. And so to fast forward to last week, he wrote that in a statement and gave it to Arizona because that's what you do. You give a statement to the compliance of your new school,
right,
to request a waiver. And because it included these allegations, they had to turn it into the NCAA, at which point the NCAA enforcement staff got involved. And at that point, it was a news story, I thought, because very much relevant to the fact that they were opening essentially an investigation into Texas A&M.
Did you at all get any reaction from Sumlin about this? Because it would seem to me, just on the outside looking at it, like, wow, I'll bet he's laughing because he was there and they screwed him. He won and they still fired him.
Well, two things on that. One, I mean, you can say they screwed him, and certainly a lot of people thought he didn't deserve to be fired, but he also walked away with $10 million. It's not the end of the world, and he's coaching in the Pac-12.
Right.
Two, my sense of it is that the Arizona staff, Sumlin, this is not something that they're particularly waving pom-poms about. I don't think they saw this coming. I don't think they really wanted to rock the boat or anything like that. Because, look, most of the time these transfers and the waiver process is collegial. No harm, no foul. If the kid gets a waiver, great. If the kid doesn't get a waiver, whatever. But that doesn't always work to the benefit of the athlete, and that's why you have an attorney involved here. I mean, remember, this isn't the NFL. It's not the NBA. Players don't have agents. There's no players' union to make sure that the best interests of the players
right.
are taken care of, right? So you have this attorney who says, no. This is not a collegial process. We're going to lay the cards on the table and try to make it work for the player as opposed to constraining him.
So Dan Wolkin with us from USA Today. All right, so all of a sudden you've got this story. You've got this lawyer that you've worked with before, Thomas Mars. He's in Arkansas, et cetera. And then you've got this kid, Santino Mark Eyal, who's saying all these things to you. What did you think when he started revealing all these stories about the environment there from his, like, I think it was at one point, it was a great piece. I'm reading through it tonight. And, like, the story about, I think it was his dad saying they were, am I wrong that they were, it was constantly, they were attacking him and they weren't teaching, they were attacking. It was abusive. The language, they called him every name in the book. They didn't care if they were injured. And then these stories he told you about them giving him cash to take out recruits to dinner. What in the hell?
Well, yeah, look, I found the kid to be very credible. I talked at length with him. I questioned him. I challenged him. He provided specifics. You know, he showed me a lot of text messages and things he had sent at the time to various people talking about some of these issues. And look, his father, Ken, played in the NFL, went on to a very successful career in the financial services sector, and he was able to go to practice, spring practice, you know, stand on the sidelines, see what was going on, and he was concerned about the language and stuff like that. But the part of that dovetails back to Jimbo Fisher and his staff coming into A&M, and I think they've been pretty upfront, honestly, about the fact that they thought it was a country club under Sumlin. They thought it was that the atmosphere was laissez-faire, that the players were soft, and that their mission was to go in there and to make those guys tougher. You know, I just a couple days ago, Jimbo Fisher said on the record something to the effect of, you know, this ain't utopia. It's football, and you know, you've got to put in the kind of work that makes you uncomfortable to win. To just to paraphrase, and I understand what he's saying there. But again, you know, do these guys go too far? And I think that's an issue with a lot of new coaching staffs, especially to go in and play the tough guy routine.
Do you remember that movie that was, and I'm trying to remember it. I can't think of the name of it right now off the top of my head, where it was the story of the, was it Bear Bryant or something? Or where was it? The Junction Boys. Do you remember that movie, like, where they treated them so bad and it was like torture, the training camp?
Yeah. Today, like that, you'd go to jail.
Right? So, I mean, what do you think? Do you feel that, that a dad that goes and stands on the sideline and that hears cussing at a football training camp is justified in worrying about the abuse his son is receiving because of language? Now it's going to get to the point where you're not allowed to cuss at a football training camp? Seriously.
Well, look, I mean, that's a fine line, and I'll let everyone make the judgment over that based on their own values. But I think the bigger issue they had was how an ankle injury was treated. You know, this kid had missed most of the first year at A&M because – that spring he had had a Lisfranc injury, which is a break. Yeah, in the foot. He had to have screws inserted. And so he had to redshirt because he missed all of summer. He missed fall camp. He did practice some with A&M last year, but he had to redshirt because he was pretty far behind. So, you know, the doctors told him, listen, you got to be careful with your feet. You've got to be cautious. You know, if you have some sort of foot injury to back off, and this in June he suffered an ankle sprain, a grade 2 sprain, heard a pop and was naturally concerned, and he claims that the training staff there, which was a new training staff that came in after Jimbo Fisher was hired, basically said, you know, push through it. We'll just rub some Tiger Balm on it, and you'll be fine. and he did 2,400 yard sprints, and his ankle was swelled up and all black and blue. And I think that was where there was a last straw element, you know, where he just said, "Look, I know I should not be going and practicing. It's not getting better. It's worse. And with the ankle injury history, you know, what am I doing?" So that was the last straw, and I think that was the part of the treatment, the player treatment, that was the most concerning.
So let me ask you, the money that was changing hands, allegedly, that he said that literally he named coaches that were giving him cash. The linebackers coach, Pivetto, et cetera, allegedly gave him cash to take him to this Razu's Cajun Cafe. I wonder, is the jerk chicken good there?
I've never been there, yeah. No, I've never been there. So I think anyone who's, you know, really familiar with college football would not be particularly surprised by that passage. I mean, kids come in on visits. They come in for the weekend. They go out. They have players take them out. And a coach, you know, slipping a guy a couple $100, and saying, hey, listen, you know, make sure these recruits have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's very unusual. But it is unusual to talk about it, and that's what we have here.
I think it's they're just jealous because Louisville does it better than everybody with, you know, the strippers and blow. I mean, they're just so much better at – I mean, their parties are just – so what do you think is going to happen to this – Jimbo Fisher's obviously tight-lipped. What do you think – I mean, your story's obviously huge, and it's going to blow up in their face. Is the kid going to play at Arizona, and what's going to happen to A&M right now?
Yeah, I think he will play this year at Arizona. I think basically the NCAA will grant him that because they like this kind of information, and I think this will work for his purposes. For A&M, look, I don't know what's going to happen. The NCAA is going to try to investigate. They'll see what they can corroborate. They'll work with the school to try to figure out what's appropriate. And if it becomes a, you know, a full blown investigation, then that, you know, that could take a while. I don't know that anything in here will amount to massive penalties, although I do think the NCAA will be concerned about the workouts. I think that will be the biggest thing is the allegedly illegal workouts. That's a competitive advantage. That's something that especially the last couple of years, they've really tried to clamp down on time demands of the athletes. If they were just blatantly ignoring those, I think that's something that will be concerning to the NCAA. It's way too early in the process to try to like project what's going to happen. But I did think just in reporting the story, what made it more newsworthy to me was that not only did the kid put it on paper and give it to the NCAA, but that the NCAA engaged on it and said, we're going to go ask questions.
Wow. Great job by you. Great story. I'm kind of creeped out by Jimbo Fisher from Tallahassee to College Station. And no time at all, he's already in trouble. Like, honestly, it just smells fishy to me. Honestly, no joking around here. I think it'll probably really hurt him against Northwestern State next week.
They'll only win, you know, maybe 45-0 instead of 65-0.
Yeah. But the Clemson week two should be fun. Hopefully they'll have their house in order by then. I think this is going to take a while. Great job, Dan. Great reporting. I love stories like this. Excellent work by you. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thank you.
All right. Dan Wolkin, USA Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.